3172.
SMS Refilwe
on 31702.
Absolutely. Do SMS me or drop me a voice note on 0727021702. We'd like to hear from you if you are a matriculant or a matric learner, rather, a grade 12 learner who didn't get their desired results, right, with the final matric exams, or perhaps you failed altogether. We are talking about that situation that you are in, we're exploring the options available to you, how you can cope with disappointing matric results, or indeed even with failure. It might be the end of the road for so many of your cohort who've moved on, who've passed, who got the results they wanted, and it might feel like the end of the world for you, but it doesn't have to be this way, at least not for long. So let's explore options now. Even better, share your success stories or your turnaround stories. If you've been here before, you've been exactly at this point, and you're able to turn the situation around and dust yourself off and go on to achieving your goals. It might not have proceeded the way you'd planned. It might not have unfolded the way you initially wanted, but ultimately you overcame the setback. Share with us what your journey looked like from dealing with or living with or addressing the fact that your results were disappointing or you failed matric outright, to the fact that you overcame and you've made something of yourself. And by that I mean you were able to follow through on your own dreams and ambitions. So joining us to have this conversation, talking about the options available to matriculants or learners that didn't do well in matric or have failed, is educational psychologist Lundi Blok van Kroonestein. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
It is an absolute pleasure. So, of course, we know that this week has been all about the build-up to the release of the 2021 matric results. The pass rate was 76.4% for public schools. So there's quite a big chunk of that cohort of last year's grade 12s who are quite disappointed with their results, or didn't pass at all. How do we have this conversation when a child, a grade 12 learner, a child finds themselves in the situation of not having performed as they'd hoped or at least planned for?
Yeah. I think for the grade 12 that didn't make it, it is a huge disappointment for them. But for them to realize, I have come so far, and that in itself is an achievement. We made it all the way here. Yes, the end result isn't what I hoped for. But it's also not the end of the road. It's one obstacle and one bump. And I just need to try and keep a level head and make plans and new plans. And maybe the new plans that I make turn out to be better than the original ones.
Yeah.
And through the support from their guardians and parents, to put their heads together and find an alternative route. It's definitely not the end of the road. There are so many alternatives, than completing grade 12 to still being a successful individual going into your future.
Mm. And that's exactly it, right? So you can still be a successful individual going into your future. But of course, now we're sitting in the direct aftermath of having received your results. And it feels like the world has ended, no doubt.
Yes,
but also this young person, this child is not experiencing all of this in a vacuum, because they're surrounded by family, they're surrounded by friends who were on this journey with them. As you say, they've come far. And there are other people that also had expectations or hopes or ambitions for you. When is too soon, or when is the best time to start as a parent talking to your child about the results that they may be able to, or the subjects that they may be able to rewrite or may have to rewrite? Or saying, okay, well, you might not have quite gotten the scores, the marks that you wanted for a specific degree, but these are the other options available. Do we give disappointed kids a day, a week to mope and feel bad, or do we just keep it moving right away?
Yeah, that's a bit of a difficult question to answer, because every person is different. So, you get a child that you could immediately have a conversation with and is ready to move on and can think level-headedly. to make the plans, and someone else might need some time to process it. I think it's for the parents or guardians very important just to be there for the child and be supportive and to gauge whether they are ready for the conversation or not and to follow their lead in a sense. But while you are being supportive, and if you're waiting for them to sort of mope it out, like you said, and to let them know, you know, when you're ready, we can make plans and see how we can help you to create new goals and to, you know, start walking your new path into the future. I think at the end of the day, the parents or guardians' responses is actually what is most important, because what their words and their reactions is what will most likely leave a lasting effect, and how they also bounce back from this. If the parents are then also moping around, that's sort of setting the example of disappointment, and it will be so much more difficult for the kids to stand up, lift their heads up and look forward.
Sure, yeah, it can be quite a stressful and difficult time. How do, you know, obviously in moving forward and, you know, assessing or trying to understand why a child either didn't perform the way they had hoped to, you know, what is the place or necessity of, I don't want to say recriminations, but of blame, of saying, yes, you might have been doing rotational learning, but you still had your maths tutor that saw you twice a week, but I just didn't see you applying yourself. The place to, or the need to apportion blame, I think, is perfectly human. But, you know, during this period of reassessing and making new plans, how important is it to have reasons versus excuses? And how important is it to hold a child accountable and say, yes, these are the reasons you failed, but actually you're also giving me excuses? Or perhaps to say, and actually understand that the impediments and the stumbling blocks were big, they were huge, and you tried your best regardless.
I think it's human nature to find blame and to find fault. That necessarily won't really help you moving forward. And it's to not get too stuck on that. Yes, you didn't work hard enough. You didn't apply yourself that much because of the various reasons. But let's learn from that. This is what happened. You know, COVID was there. Maybe, you know, we had the night before something happened and you didn't have time.
Yeah.
But let's learn from that. And if you do go and rewrite, you know, you need to apply yourself more when you're studying for your rewrite. So to use it more as a learning guide to grow, because failures are there to help us grow and learn.
Yeah, absolutely. Failures can help us grow and learn. And I always wonder about, sometimes your failures or your disappointments can spur you onto, you know, making sure that, oh my goodness, that feeling that I had, you know, or the embarrassment, or maybe even, you know, whatever it was, the disappointment that I felt, I don't want to feel that feeling ever again. So next step or my attitude going forward is going to be quite different. How do we make sure that, you know, if we're using this period of disappointment as impetus, as, you know, that extra fuel in one's fire, we also don't dwell or live with shame as well, because that undoes so much work, does it not?
Yeah. The shame feeling is, you know, if they're stuck there, that's what's not going to enable them to move forward. If they're stuck in the shame and the disappointment, it will be so much more difficult for them to move forward. And I guess that the sense of shame, especially if you had a friend that passed and did exceptionally well and you did not, and that comparison will constantly be in the back of your mind. And that's again where I said that the parents, part of the parents or guardians' role is to try and pull them out of it and to not compare. Yes, this is what happened, but let's move forward. You did, in a sense, you know, if you were one of those children that did your best and still didn't receive the results, acknowledge that from the parent's side. Don't just find the blame or find the mistakes that they made. Also find the accomplishments, the little ones. You know, even if there's a maths was a huge challenge, but you passed maths, but you maybe didn't pass English or so forth. Focus on that. If you were able to pass maths, you can use those skills when you go and rewrite. So also look for the little victories and the accomplishments within the failure.
Absolutely. And I guess, you know, going forward, sort of more honest or absolutely honest conversations are very necessary. We don't want to apply a Band-Aid solution to, you know, the next steps that we take then with your children. How do we make sure that our plans then become, or our alternatives that we take on the road to ultimate success, as you say, it's possible. How do we make sure they are realistic despite the disappointment?
I think it's about sitting down and looking at your goals. What is your goals? Where do you want to be? What do you want to become? And let's say, you know, you wanted to do medicine and you know, your marks weren't good enough for enrollment. Look at the alternatives. Could we do one of the other degrees and maybe throughout your studies switch over to medicine? Is that still what you want? Maybe there's something else, another road. Maybe becoming a teacher could also be a possibility. So it's to have those discussions about ultimate goals and what you want to do with your future. And in a sense, also, it's okay if they don't know right now. You know, they're 12 or still very young, and to know right now what you want to be isn't always possible.
Yeah. We're going to have to leave it right there, but really a big thank you to educational psychologist Lundi Blok van Kroonestein. And yeah, lovely conversation on how to handle disappointment.